To the best fucking snacks. We are live. This is probably gonna go on air, but I do not care. I am high as fucking kite. All right, now we gotta start this shit off again.
Wow.
I know. Every time we're back on the show.
Yeah, so yo, it's your boy Southeast706, the Mandalorian on Twitter. We're back. The Mandalorian. Have you not watched The Mandalorian?
No.
On Disney? You haven't watched The Mandalorian? Okay, so you have plenty of time. Watch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. That shit is great. That shit is excellent. But it's wordplay like Bando. I'm in the trap, you know, not Mando, but Bandalorian. Anyways, so this is the Dirty Bird Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast of Falcon Twitter. It's been a while. I feel like people might think we were hiding after the last episode where we told people that they were stupid, but that's not the case. I meant no malice. You know, we're just here, you know, giving facts, and everybody was offended. We offered them the chance to come on the podcast, even though we haven't podcasted since. You are still welcome to join the conversation. But anywho, we have come back. We're all trying to survive the quarantine, and that Rona is giving people that work in various ways. You know, hopefully everybody's doing good, staying safe, staying as healthy as possible. Wash your dirty ass hands. And we will commence as the Falcons have washed their hands of several players on the team, some fan favorites. Yes, you like that smooth transition. It was like butter.
I
do what I can for the people. But
that was nice.
The Falcons have we have parted ways with longtime quarterback. No, oh my god, I've been waiting for this for a while. We've cut ties with the longtime cornerback Desmond Trufant, aka Josh. It's hard times. The coronavirus is here. Josh doesn't have a job anymore. He's gonna have to go to, you know, say free agent workouts. You know, say work on his back pedal, get his pectoral muscle right, all that good stuff. But some other characters I don't really care to talk about. Devontae Freeman, he was also informed that he will not be returning with us, which was kind of foregone conclusion. Anyways, and Austin Hooper officially signed with the Cleveland Browns. And there's been a myriad of moves that have gone. We just recently signed Dante Fowler, who Mr. Bias, Georgia fan Josh is not happy with, but we'll get into that here soon as well.
We gotta talk about that.
Yeah, it's no been a bias, but... bruh, you okay? Let's get into it. You clearly no. You said that we should have got Leonard Floyd essentially, and people were clearly telling you statistically Leonard Floyd is not good, and Dante Fowler is better. You just refuse to accept facts, bro. And I was like, wait a second. Did he go to University of Georgia? It makes sense.
He's been in the league longer than Floyd. So he better be like better than him. And he went, third overall. He better be better than Floyd.
That's not okay. That Mr. Trubisky went over Deshaun Watson. That doesn't make him better.
Racism.
Anywho, let's start with also, we signed the tight end. What's the gentleman's name?
Hayden Hurst.
From Jacksonville, Duval County. I'd look him up. He went to Bowles High School, so he played. Oh, wow. He played with some talent. There's definitely some talent out there in Jacksonville. So I was like, okay, I see he played with some probably some hood fellows. You know, he might fit well in the Atlanta locker room. But where do you want to start? We're gonna start with the cuts. Let's start with the cuts.
Oh man,
it shouldn't be a surprise that we didn't re-sign Austin Hooper. It was kind of trending that way, and I mean, it is what it is. There's arguments on both sides why we should have kept him, but I mean, he's gone. If we're gonna use Josh's logic, we flipped him for a first round pick tight end. Who some people think that he is not going to be that big of a difference as far as like talent wise. I think shout out to the homie Aaron Freeman at Falcon Fan. He said that pretty much statistically, like combine wise, they're both kind of the same athletically as far as like the 40 times, broad jumps, cone drills, all that stuff. I know the clip that they like to show with the Ravens and him scoring that 61 yard touchdown, but you know, we're going to see for ourselves. Some people are saying that he didn't thrive in that system. He didn't lose his starting spot, but there's another guy that was drafted in the third round that actually was the go-to guy. So it could be one of those situations. Maybe I'm hoping it's like a Michael Turner situation where he is a backup and he just needs a full starting role, or hopefully like a Sanu situation. Like, that's probably not the best example, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you get a new start somewhere else and you're kind of one of the right. go-to guys and you get a more opportunity to shine. So yeah. What are y'all's thoughts on Austin Hooper not returning to the Falcons?
I'm a little pissed. Like, Austin Hooper was the fucking the go-to. You know what I'm saying? And we still got that man that loves to flaunt his fucking tight ends, that tight ends coach. So
no, he retired.
Oh, he did.
My Malucky retired.
Oh, good. Well, shit. Like, I'm still mad because Hooper. I mean, he was that guy. You know, he was definitely flourishing and all that shit. And now he's gone to the Browns where he ain't going to be flourishing very much because they got fucking Baker Mayfield who is looking to be a fucking bust. So, my feelings were a little hurt behind that. And then let me make something clear to you motherfuckers on Twitter. I was not mad at acquiring Hurst. What I was mad about is we traded a second round pick for a guy that ain't even the go-to guy on his team. That's my problem. Like, why couldn't we give up a third and a fifth? Not the second. And the second one we got from trading Sanu. I mean, come on now. That was my fucking problem and most people's fucking problem with this. Like, Hurst just got it. If he proves himself, all right, I'll come on here, eat crow doo-doo or whatever the fuck the saying is.
Probably shouldn't be eating doo-doo during the coronavirus, but whatever. Just wash your hands.
You know, I don't fucking smoke that shit, so bear with me. But yeah, like, come on. We didn't have to do all that. Our front office just ain't been making very much sense this entire offseason from the start, from the fucking 20-minute video they made for their decision to bring TD and Quinn back to now. I mean, the only good shit is shit that happened today, but not according to Josh, but we'll get there. So that's my third hurt.
Well, so the logic I was hearing from the smarter people that pay attention to that stuff is that we're going to have to address the tight end position in the draft anyways, and that right. if you compare Hurst to whatever was coming out that would have been around in that position, he was going to be better than anything we would have gotten the second, if that makes sense. Because at least he's tried and true. He's been in the league for at least 2 years. He was a first-round talent. So from that aspect, it does make sense. If we're going to go with the idea that this was a good move, again, some people think it's a lateral move, but I don't know. To me, just from the eye test, and I haven't, like Aaron, watched every snap he's had. I'm not going to do that, but I will watch some highlights. But he does on that 61-yard touchdown. Again, it was one play. He looked like he had some burst to him, man. Like, I know that. Like, the metrics say that they are the same people athletically, him and Austin Hooper. But there are people that have – there's people that have football speed. Yeah, there's some people's 40s that aren't great, but once they get a ball in their hand, then they're like, oh, shoot, like, that guy can move. So I think that could be a potential upside because people were getting mad about Austin Hooper as him being a quote-unquote top five tight end, even though there's not really that many great tight ends to begin with. But people had him with the Kelce's and the Kittles. And my argument on Twitter always is, I don't think any defense coordinator was ever losing sleep worrying about Austin Hooper. Not one time. Like, in the Super Bowl. Again, even though we do have Julio Jones, there would never be a time where we'd have to say, hey, we need you to take over the game like Kelce could. Like, that's a top five talent. You know what I'm saying? Austin Hooper is top five by default, in my opinion. I have no ill will against the guy, but it is what it is. Like, he's not – we can win or lose without him, as we saw. You know what I'm saying?
True. My thing was, like Lethal said, was the fact that we have a second for Hurst. It was – I mean, the other second, it seemed like a lot. But I mean, seeing that, me being a Georgia fan, since we brought that up, I've seen Hurst play in South Carolina, and he has some incredible hands. He's my thing is what we got from Austin, Hurst can do the same, if not more. So it is somewhat, in a way, a lateral move. But I was feeling at first that we were clearing our space, Silverstone, Austin, but turns out that wasn't the case. And I was on the Austin is the top five tight end, but Marcus, he sent me basically a PFF clip, and it's basically like Austin, like he has good numbers, but this is why he got those numbers. And it's basically just saying like he's not what we think that he is. So, I mean, only time will tell that when we get to see him in Cleveland, if he is what we thought that he was or whatnot. But, I mean, I'm sad that he went, but I can understand because, again, like this is the offense where we need to just work with what we have. We have Julio. We have Ridley. If we can't put up 21 points with those two and Matt, something is wrong. So, I mean – yeah, whoever's in that starts that end, as long as they produce, we should be okay.
Yeah, and I was a big component that the reason that Hooper flourished this year a lot was because Dork Cotter does not have the ability get Calvin Ridley the ball. Like, there was a point in the season where Hooper had either more targets or more receptions than Calvin Ridley. And I was like, why? I would always want the ball. I would want the ball to go to the guy that runs a 4.4 more often than the guy that runs a borderline 4.7. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how you don't find a way to get your best athletes the ball. That I don't know if it's a Calvin Ridley thing. Again, he's going to be going to his third year, so hopefully he pops and can be that hopefully future stopgap replacement for Julio Jones. But like, get your best athletes the ball. Like, I don't get it, man. I couldn't understand it, but hopefully Dork can pull his head out of his ass and not waste our time again for another season. Because this is at this point, it's wherever every year we don't make competent moves, we're just wasting our star players' prime. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I mean, it took Dan Quinn 8 fucking games to get his head out of his fucking ass last year. So who the fuck knows what we're gonna do with fucking what'd you say, Dork, whatever the fuck his last name is. Shit, it may take another fucking 8 games, and here we go again with another fucking video featuring Arthur Blank.
The only thing with the offense is that they start off slow. We seen them catch fire at spurts, and they're just like a top tier offense in the league. As long as they don't have those slow starts, we should be okay.
Yeah, who knows? Because we got these fucking new people coming in and out. We got rid of, what's his name? A couple O-line people. And then we got the O-line men with the fucking heart problem. And then who else we got left?
McGarry will be fine. He's a rookie.
Like,
he had it in college, and he had the same procedure that he just had. He had that procedure also in college. He would be fine.
I know, but at any moment, it's just like, oh shit, there go my heart again. I gotta get off the field.
He's not gonna die on the field.
I ain't say he's gonna die, but he can have a little problem. He was like, oh fuck, here we go. Now he gotta get off the field. Who gonna protect my goddamn quarterback? I'm tired of seeing my fucking quarterback on his fucking back. I know the name is quarterback, but that don't mean they're supposed to be on their back all the goddamn time. What we gonna do? And then Alex Mack probably gonna retire because ain't he like 50 years old?
Well, he's now the vice president of the players union, so yeah, he's probably got another year left in him. So
I think this is his last year.
Okay.
All right. So again, I think we'll be fine without Hooper. And again, I do like this situation. Kind of like when hold on 1 second. Yo, send Marcus an email. Invite him in real quick.
Oh, God. Come on now. We just came back, and now I don't have at least one peaceful episode. Oh, man.
No, we have to get Marcus in.
I'm gonna send you his email. Hold on, but yeah, I do like the situation with Austin Hooper, because I do enjoy, and again, it's kind of to our detriment, I do enjoy seeing how players play when they are on a different team, like how we're gonna get to see what Tom Brady is without Bill Belichick, or how we saw how Peyton Manning was without the Colts. So I am interested, Steve, because again. It's kind of a double-edged sword, or people talk out of both sides of their mouth. Like, hey, Matt Ryan's this great quarterback who makes players. But then you get upset when we get rid of a player and get somebody else. If he's good enough to make, if you're going back, like exactly. Devin Hester or Justin Hart, or not Justin Hart, holy shit, Harry Douglas.
Michael Jenkins,
good receivers. And with that same mindset, whoever we bring in, he should be fine. And I think it's more or less that Matt Ryan makes the players, not the other way around. Like, back in Peyton Manning's Colt days, when they had your boy number 40,
Stokely there, Harrison.
Dallas Clark. Yeah, when they had Dallas Clark, he was balling. But like, as soon as Peyton Manning left, Dallas Clark went somewhere else. He wasn't good anymore. Same with Julius Thomas. As soon as he left Peyton Manning, he was not good anymore in Jacksonville. So I'm not saying that's the same fate for Hooper, but I'm interested to see what it looks like. If he goes out and balls out, then you know it is what it is. But I don't think we're gonna miss a beat with that. So
my thing with him going to Cleveland, like, he got to realize, like, Cleveland is Chubb, and then OBJ, and then Landry. It's like you went to another offense that has like three other options before you. Like, why would you do that?
Because we want to get paid. That's all it's about. Like, ain't nobody trying to win. Yeah. We're trying to get paid, bro. I mean, it is what it is. Gif, you send the invite?
Yeah, I'm sending it again to the email. I sent it to Twitter, but he talked about
send it to my email.
Yeah, I don't know why you're doing that, but he's probably not at home. But well, while we're waiting on that, let's look at some tweets. Actually, let's talk about Josh's tweets.
Yes.
Josh been on the timeline wilding all day, and I'm so confused. Unlock your tweets again. Stop locking your tweets. You're a coward.
Unlock your tweets.
He's a coward.
What? Why do I have to lock my tweets?
Why do you have to lock them?
Because.
My tweet's about to be locked again because I'm just about to start applying to God again.
My company has a whole Twitter account. I cannot. No.
My thing is, if you know your job's on the Twitter, A, why would you use your name and your face? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I took my face off.
So I clearly not use my face at all, bro. Like, I'm not trying to get caught up. Like, it's not. We're not doing that. Like, y'all be living on the edge, dog.
Yeah, I may just have to change my avi now.
Okay, so let's start with this first extremely optimistic tweet from Josh. He tweeted this 7 hours ago. When Fowler doesn't produce, I don't want to hear shit. Thoughts?
We basically let Vic Beasley walk for the hood Vic Beasley. They're the exact same player. One just hood.
Oh, look.
One is just quiet boy.
What's wrong with a hood Vic Beasley?
Hey, look, Marcus is here. No, well, actually, in that draft, I kind of liked the Dante Fowler coming out of Florida, but I don't know. We got caught up in the athleticism of beating Vic Beasley.
He hasn't produced. This man played on two lines that were 100 times better than ours in Jacksonville and in LA. He just had one career year when he had double digits sack. One. He played in Jacksonville and with the Rams. Like, come on, man. Like, he played some stout talent on the defensive line, and you can produce one double digit sack season, and you are a fourth round pick, third overall.
Well, I mean,
Vic Beasley reincarnated.
That's not, I don't think that's fair. I mean, he did get injured his rookie year, and it does take I think they were saying D linemen about 3 years to hit their stride. So, I mean, next year will be the kind of the benchmark to see if he's actually worth the money that we're going to pay him. But, I mean, what's the alternative? Not signing anybody? Like, what would you have wanted them to do?
I mean, I saw
– You didn't want Vic Beasley, so that was obviously not an option.
Yeah, exactly. I was over Vic at 2017. But, I mean – from what I saw, it could be speculation. They were saying that Everson Griffin from Minnesota, he probably could have been in play. I would rather us go after something like that. Yes, he has his mental issues, but he could produce on the field.
Isn't he a little bit older, though?
Mental issues.
Well, yeah, you can kind of say that.
Yeah, we got
him. He's like... I'm just not really optimistic about this foul signing.
Hey, I mean,
you don't trust the GM?
Hell no.
Huh? No. I do. Again, I trust TD. My thing is, Fowler came here because he played for Quinn at Florida, and you come to Atlanta, you come to play for a coach that you already played for. He may just get here and slack off. He just got paid. So what incentive is for him to just go out there and ball out?
I feel like if T is going out and signing these players, that these players are good, considering that Thomas Dimitroff was one of the better GMs in the NFL. So I feel like this signing is a pretty good signing for the Falcons. It's hard to deny that. When you have one of the better GMs in the NFL, like, you have to trust what he's doing. You have to trust his decision-making. Yeah. He makes great decisions.
Who trusts him to me?
No. Let's not do that, because I told you. The Carpenter, Sambrello. No. Because I know what you're trying to do.
He's
a good GM. TD is a good GM.
That's what I said. We're on the same page, Josh. We agree with each other. He's one of the good GMs. Yeah, he's good at his job. So if he's signing this guy, he's a good player.
No, because again, he made a mistake in giving Brian and Carpenter their deal and Tyson Brella his deal. I mean, he messes up here and there, which I can admit. But for the most part, he does more good than harm, is what I'm saying.
You also got to think that Dan Quinn is also a defensive coach. So you would think that he would be able to get the most out of these defensive players. So you got to trust the good coach that you have. You got to trust the good GM that you have. The GM and the coach are good. They're tied together. Like, they're one of the best duos in the league when it comes to front office
Jesus, here we go.
Look at their draft record.
That's actually, it's funny you mentioned that. And just real quick, my homeboys that are Jags fans think that he's a solid pickup. So there's some solace in that. But the homie X Slag X, she actually tweeted out all of TD's first round draft picks. So 2008, Matt Ryan, Sam Baker. 2009, Perry Jerry. 2010, Sean Witherspoon. 2011, Julio Jones. The infamous 2012 draft where none of those players are still in the NFL. Nope. No first-round pick. 2013, Desmond Trufant. 2014, Jake Matthews. 2015, Vic Beasley. 2016, Keanu Neal. 2017, Tack McKinley. 2018, Calvin Ridley. 2019, Chris Lindstrom. And Caleb McGarry. So, I think that's about the NFL norm. It seems about... maybe slightly over 50-50, but I think it's about 50-50.
How could you deny that talent evaluation by a TD? Like, if you just reading off those names, like, it's hard to believe, like, this team isn't better. Like, Vic Beasley, awesome player.
Pro bowler.
Desmond Trufant, awesome player. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these homegrown players that the Falcons have, like, they're on their way.
So full of it.
They're on their way.
Shit. Okay. Chuck Smith approved Dante Fowler. So
all right, let's go to Devontae Freeman. So again, on Falcons Twitter, a lot of you ungrateful clowns like to define Devontae Freeman by one singular play in one game.
Let's talk about it.
No. Let me get this. Yeah. This man gave this franchise, this man from the Pork and Bean Projects, trying to live that boss life. Man. You know, if you go back and watch that that Hard Knocks where he thought he came up, he had him a little apartment. You know what I'm saying? He was a young kid with a gleam in his eye, and he gave the Falcons everything he had. And you dirty, disrespectful motherfuckers out here slandering this man, talking about good riddance. Yeah. Wow. Oh, you missed the block. Bye. You suck. I'm like, bye. Yo, man, come on, man. Ooh, what are y'all doing? Bye.
You fucking.
What are y'all doing, to my man? And y'all are excited, like, we got Quadri Olison and Brian Hill. Oh my God, we need to get them the ball more. Power Ooh, football, good goal line bags. Get the fuck out of here, dog. Brian Hill has been cut from the team. How you draft a dude, don't make the team, bring him back, cut him or whatever, and like, and now he's got a fifth round tender. Like, he's not good. Quadri Olison, not good.
Okay.
We'd better hope the Ito Smith is healthy or here's draft
the,
somebody.
Here's the thing.
You are ungrateful.
Here's the thing.
Ungrateful.
You're looking short term. You don't see the vision that TD
they fucking short on.
With TD being one of the better GMs in the league during the last season, what he could have did was he could have traded Devontae Freeman for a draft pick. But instead, he was like, you know what? It's chess, not checkers. So I'm looking to the future. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold on to Devontae Freeman, and I'm just going to keep him, and I'm just going to release him. And that's the move, because that's what good GMs do. Instead of getting value for players that they drafted in the fourth round, they decided to just let him go. That's what good GMs do. Okay. Y'all just don't see the vision. Y'all don't see the vision?
Say that he traded him for a six-round pick. Y'all just go, and that six-round pick came up and flopped. Y'all would just brought him up like, oh, this is another TD pick that's out of the league. So, I mean, what's the difference?
No, TD – no, first off, if TD gets a player in this – if he gets an extra draft pick, if you give Thomas Dimitroff another chance at drafting a player, if you give him multiple draft picks, he's going to hit because that's what good GMs do because he's one of the better ones. So if you give him an extra round pick, he would have picked a good player. But instead, he decided to just release Devontae Freeman and do the right thing and give Devontae Freeman a chance to pick his own place so he gets that good karma that comes around on the back end. You see what I'm saying? You need to open your third eye. Okay? Because that's – Josh, that's what the good GMs do, right? That's what we do.
Same thing with Austin Hooper. He came to the pros.
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. You draft good players, but when it's time to pay them, you make another team pay them so you can draft another good guy, right? Because no one was going to find Hooper. TD was the only one that saw the vision, that saw that this man had the talent and was like, you know what? Let me get that dude. I see that this guy's going to be a third-round pick. Let me go ahead and pick him up. I'm not going to prepare for the future to sign him, but I'm going to let him go and go to Cleveland. And so when I want to make another trade with Cleveland down the line, they'll remember that I gave them Austin Hooper because that's what good GMs do. That's the thing with Falcons fans. Y'all are ungrateful. Y'all don't see what your GM is doing. He's working magic out here. Y'all are sleeping.
He also had enough insight to look at in the forefront and say, hey, that Freeman kid, he could be good.
Facts.
In the forefront and picking him.
Facts.
So he's gonna do it this year, going forward. He's gonna find a random running back in the fourth, fifth round. Well, you know what? Come here. We can make you a star. Someone else gonna pay you.
Exactly. See, you see how smooth these episodes go. Me and Josh are on the same page. And we're agreeing with everything that we say. I love it. This is so great.
Again, just a big thank you to that guy. And there's still people saying we should have kept Coleman. You people don't watch football.
I don't respect you. It's thank you for costing us a Super Bowl. Thank you.
No. Okay. Josh, first of all,
that's what I'm saying. You have too many followers to be pushing this false narrative. Like, again, if you're gonna criticize if you're gonna criticize his one play, go criticize every single other bad decision that was made in the game.
That's what I was about to say. I said, let me rephrase it. Thank you for having a part in costing us the game. That's fair. That's more reasonable.
Okay, so are you going to use that same logic with everybody else that leaves the Falcons? Because eventually everybody's going to leave, and everybody didn't play a perfect game in that game. So that's what I'm saying. You're being particularly hard on one player for one play.
But, Julio did. Julio played a perfect game.
And again, like I tweeted, I'm pretty sure if he goes back and watches it, I'm sure there's some plays that he could have made better. The only person that's almost infallible is probably Matt Ryan, but I'm sure if even he would say he could have made better plays. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, I mean, it is what it is. Does this open up the prospect draft running back? Because I clearly have no faith in the guys that are on the roster right now.
None.
Why don't you take Allison? What has he, like, not shown you that he's decent?
Because the game that him and Hill started with Freeman out against the worst running defense in the NFL, they showed that they are not good. Freeman came back and played that same defense and ran wild over them. They have no wiggle. They're just guys. They're not. At least Tevin Coleman had blazing speed. Everybody here's like, oh, power backs. Like, bro, nobody drafts power backs in 2020. Like, that's not a thing. Oh, he's good at the goal line. Okay, what about the other 90 yards in the field? Like, nobody cares, bro. Like,
that's what Julio is at. That's Julio's territory. You know this. Julio gets that from 2020, and then from there we go to everybody else.
I'm just saying, but that's people's justification for Quadri Ola since he's so great on the goal line. I'm like, okay, what about the rest of the field, though? Like, you got to get there.
A whole 100 fucking yards. We don't got no good running backs.
And my thing is, if he turns out to be good, then cool. You know, whatever, it works out. I'll, you know, eat crow or whatever, but I just don't see it, man.
They are 2 feet tall. They are injury prone.
Ito was good.
Ito is yeah, to me, he's another Freeman. To me.
He's
less violent.
Yeah, but I mean, how does that work out for him? He still missed a good part of the season with a concussion. And that's the other thing. People blame Freeman for his decline. And I'm like, yo, he got injured. He plays the most violent position in the game. Like, injuries are part of the game. It's not like he got paid and said, hey, I forgot how to play football. It happens. You can't act like that Julio's not been nicked up for almost his entire career. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's part of the game.
Yeah. Freeman got like 50 fucking concussions. Why do you expect him to run the exact same way he's been doing? He's got to think about his future and not becoming a fucking vegetable for the rest of his life. So, of course, his run game is going to change. And don't help, we got the shittiest O-line, one of the shittiest O-lines in the fucking league.
That's the other thing.
Who's going to run behind that? Who going to run behind that? You going to risk your body to try to run behind that O-line? I don't think so. So shut the fuck up. I'll get on my fucking
head. Our run offense was pretty bad, and people refused to look at that. I was like, all right, man. Good luck, man. Again, I'm here to draft another guy. I'm not here to draft your boy from Georgia because he's going to probably go too high, but we need somebody.
Dobbins
possible. Oh, yeah. The only knock on him I heard is that he's had a huge workload at Stanford?
No, Ohio State. Dobbins?
Nah, Thompson. Thomas Jonathan?
No, I'm saying Dobbins.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about Taylor, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor.
They work all the Wisconsin running backs. I don't want him. No.
Yeah, they said he has a bit of a fumbling problem too, I think. But, I mean, Tevin Coleman had a fumbling problem his rookie year. He fixed it, so it is what it is.
I don't feel like it's going to take too much for TD to rebuild this offensive line. Like, I mean, a good GM can turn around an offensive line in, like, at minimum 2 seasons. So he's already laid down the groundwork with the 2 picks from last season and still having Jake Matthews, he's still up there. So
yeah, and one of them has a fucking heart condition.
That's the thing. He has a heart condition, but the thing is all that good karma he got from letting Devontae Freeman go for nothing, it's gonna come around and he's gonna get like a new heart for this guy. That's what the game comes around. It's
heart
chess.
Transplant.
It's chess, not checkers.
I mean, straight from China.
It's a long game, gift. Think long game. You got to see the vision. You got to see the vision. Like, open your third eye. Like, your chakras aren't really balanced. You're not aligning right now.
I'm seeing a lot of shit right now because I'm high, but I ain't seeing that vision right there. I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't in the vision that I'm seeing.
Well, again, thank you for your service, Devontae. I hope you land somewhere and ball out. So
he's gonna run right over us.
I will say that the
I probably doubt that.
Shut your mouth, True Font. That's why y'all ass got cut. Motherfucker.
And he got signed with the Lions.
He got signed for death before Freeman.
Where he get signed to?
The Lions. Okay, and that's another thing. That's my other thing. Y'all people like Josh are like, oh, Freeman hasn't been signed yet. Ha 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 ha. Dog, it hasn't been 48 hours, dog. Like, people said the same thing about Trufant. Like, oh, he hasn't been signed. Nobody wants to be sucks. Like, bro, it hasn't been 2 days, dog. Like, god damn. Like, y'all are just ready to hate on somebody.
30 minutes.
Y'all ready to hate somebody. Like,
y'all are so mad. Once we
cut ties, that's it. I don't have any ill will towards Freeman. I mean, like, he did what he did when he was here. He's not here anymore. So I mean, bye.
I will say one thing about a Falcons sort of that I do notice is like, whenever a player is cut or released or traded, there's a lot of fuck yous and bye bitch and all that stuff. I'm like, god damn, man. Y'all didn't appreciate anything they did for the team? Like,
Here's the thing with that. They think that these people just want to run out and run away from the team. That's their problem. They're assuming that, like, with Hooper, they assume that he wanted to leave. But if you went on his Instagram, he was like, nah, they told me to go. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they've
been assuming. Yeah,
there's two sides. First of all, it's a business. There's two sides to every story. Like, right. I can't, like, okay, that's how he might have perceived it. But I mean, if you're telling me that there was no way that if he wanted to be an Atlanta Falcon, he could not stay. I told him he wanted to get paid. Like, right. They evaluated him like, hey, this is your value.
He saw the writing on the wall. Like, if you have an opportunity to reset the market at your position coming off of your rookie deal, you do that. And I was telling Falcons fans this for at least a month before free agency opened. I was like, yo, Austin Hooper, he's not the guy. Like, you guys could easily, like, yeah. TD will easily find someone that can give you the production that Hooper was giving you. For him to be the highest paid tight end, he'll probably put up numbers because he has Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry on that team. And Kareem Hunt is still there in Cleveland?
Nick Chubb.
Yeah, like, they're like, okay, so Austin Hooper in Cleveland is going to be the third or fourth option there. So you made the highest paid tight end who's
for
not
now. Good. For now.
Yeah, for now. You made the highest paid tight end who's not good against one-on-one man coverage your third or fourth option? Like, that's if that's what he wants, then of course you let that guy walk. Obviously, that makes. That's long game right there, because that's how you fuck yourself up. Like, you don't pay someone who doesn't produce against one-on-one coverage, who's your third option to be the highest paid tight end in the NFL. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, my thing is, I'm a fan of a player. I like to see other players succeed if they were, you know, solid players from my team. I'm not that guy that curses them out and sends them the middle finger on the way out the door. Like, they're still human beings. Like, it's just a game that might not be here for a while because of the old the Rona. So
fucking coronavirus.
Yeah. Man, yeah. What else is on the docket here? Another thing I want to talk about real quick, it wasn't really on the list, but a lot of people's reaction to real quick, Vic Beasley also signed with the Tennessee Titans. And I got a homeboy that's a Titans fan. Two homeboys are Titans fans. And they were asking me, like, yo, what's the 411? I'm like, well, here's the thing. And this is, I'm going to get to that laughing too. My thing is, as long as he's not asked to be a 1A pass rusher, he's a good athlete. He has talent. He can cover running backs out the backfield. You know, if he puts a little bit more effort, he could probably be a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? But as long as he's not asked to be the guy, I think he'll be fine. But then you have people, Falcons fans, like, oh, look at his PFF rating, and, you know, trolling, like, oh, people are saying if he's good in Tennessee. It's like, what if he is good in Tennessee? Like, one gentleman on Twitter, I forgot his name, was like, yo, what players left the Falcons and become good anywhere else? I was like, who did I say? Brian Poole. And he tried to laugh me off Twitter. I was like, I had to pull the PFF. The dude was right behind Richard Sherman as far as being one of the top cover corners once he left Atlanta. And I just saw Ben Garland just resign with the 49ers, another player. You know what I'm saying? So we can't act like just because of these Falcons, they're not good. Like, he has the opportunity to change this shit. Like, this is probably his last opportunity. So we can't act like it's not possible. And we can't act like that the Falcons have the most competent defensive staff either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they have the greatest program here. So
we'll see what happens. Front office, them people are incompetent as fuck.
Yeah. What? But my thing is with Vic, he just don't have that one season. My thing is, like, if the head coach is stating that he's going to work with you or try to work with you in the offseason, don't blow him off. Like, at least trying to put the initiative, like, okay, I'm going to meet you halfway. Let's see what you have in order for me to do so I can become this better player that you want me to be. And that's what he did. He just blew Quinn off. He didn't even try to reach out to Chuck Smith.
No. Nope.
Chuck Smith was like, he's like down the street from him, working at some gym with Bud Dupree. So it's like, why are you self-sabotaging yourself when he's just trying to help you out?
Working off footwork. Didn't even go to Miller's fucking thing.
He had a previous engagement. So
not that. No.
Basketball
okay.
That could have been
okay.
That could have been pretty down the line. Like
y'all are projecting your hate to Vic Beasley because the only thing would have happened was if he'd went to Chuck Smith and not improved, y'all have just still slandered him. It's he had no there was a lose lose situation for him, so why not do what I want?
No, because had he gone to Chuck Smith, like, okay, you know what? Let me at least try to get out of my own head and let me put my pride aside and go to someone who's done it before, who's a decent player in their own self in this league before, and who know how to pass rush. But who has a credential of current players who work with him, who's where I'm trying to get my hand to. And that's what Vic did. He brushed both of them off. And he was like, you know what? I can do this by myself.
Okay.
And
well, first of all,
flat on his face didn't do that.
He had like 8 sacks, so that's not falling flat on his face. And also, you act like just because you go to Chuck Smith that you're going to be the greatest pass rusher of all time. If that was the case, then why isn't every pass rusher going to see him?
I'm not saying that either, but I'm saying had he gone to Chuck,
we don't know that.
It would show like, hey,
we don't know that. You make it sound like just because he didn't see Chuck Smith, he didn't do no work. Like, that's...
He didn't.
You were there. So you were at every one of his workouts.
He didn't do work. He worked on footwork.
Put like this. Had he gone to Chuck and bought out, had 15, 16 sacks, he could have signed a $60 million deal right now. But he's on another one-year prove-it deal with another team.
I think y'all are just projecting what you think he should be or want him to be. There's
shit. We said what we said.
I hope Vic Beasley gets 10 sacks next year.
I feel like y'all expectations for like sack numbers from players. I don't know where that's coming from because like the Falcons don't have a history of like having 10 sack guys on their team. Like John Abraham, last one maybe.
Christ. And like
a while ago, so it's just like this idea of like someone needs to come in and get 10 sacks. It's kind of like I don't know why you would have that expectation. Like, obviously, you want the guys to play better, but the fact that he's not doing it's so offensive, but it's just like y'all should be used to that by now.
He had 8 sacks this year, too. Just by the way,
like 8 sacks is not, and you can't just go off the sack numbers, obviously. Like, it's the amount of pressures they get. You know, are they causing holding penalties, knockdowns, stuff like that? But I mean, we're talking about sack numbers, so I mean, it is what it is.
But this is the thing. When we don't hold the players' feet to the fire, like how you want us to do with the people in the front office, you make it seem like we're supposed to be okay with that. Like, no, like how we expect the front office to be in that game. We expect for the players to be on that game too. So when you are one of the quote unquote pillars of the team and you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, of course we're going to have criticism for you.
Like, what are you supposed to be doing? That doesn't make any sense. Was he ever out of shape? Did he ever show up to camp overweight, out of shape? maybe he's just not that good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what we're trying to say.
So how? Like I said, how is Chuck Smith supposed to make him something he's not? Maybe that's where his talent is. Maybe he should be used in a different way, as some people think he should be used more as an outside linebacker. He only weighs like 230 pounds. There's only so many hand movements and footwork you can do when you're that small. You're just going to get rodeoed around by 300 pounds.
I would agree with that Mathis, and with the Colts with training, I would agree with that if Mathis was like the 6'5", 260-pound defensive end. This man was 5'11", killing people. Like, Vic just doesn't have that 1-2. Okay,
that has nothing to do with 1-2. There's plenty of other guys that are bad build or bigger or stronger or whatever. They're better football players. Like, you can't just say just because we have the same build that we have the same talent or skill set. Some people are just better. Like, it is what it is. And you're comparing him to probably is Freeney. Are those guys Hall of Fame players?
They should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so that's like a one-off. That's like that one guy that was in that mold that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a very high standard. I get it, but I don't know. He's not even on the team that we're on when we're talking about him. But anywho, shout out to Vic Beasley. So what are y'all's reaction to, and this is one that has a lot of my homeboys kind of roasting me in the group chat about Tom Brady coming to the Buccaneers, right? Again, I have my own thoughts on Tom Brady, but a lot of these fans, I need you Falcons fans to pump your brakes, man. I need y'all to relax a little bit. Only because they're acting like the Falcons didn't start off the season 1-7 last year, right? Like, again, I get it. I get Tom Brady's old, right? I get he's washed. I get he can't really throw too many great deep balls. But let's slow down, because Tom Brady will dink and dunk you to death, dog. Like, is Tom Brady better than Jameis Winston?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, you know what? I need to see what
he makes better. He makes better decisions. I say he makes better decisions.
Okay, right. Jameis was blind last year, so I need to see.
He's been blind his whole life. So, like, what are you talking about? He was blind when he won the Heisman Trophy too. So,
he went number one. He went number one overall with no eyesight. So I need to see what it looks like when he can see.
Did y'all see that video of him talking about he's working out?
Did y'all see that?
He was outside at his pool. What the fuck was that? Man. My grandma don't got no motherfucking legs and can do a better job than he did.
I honestly thought that was fake.
I didn't see this. But what are y'all thoughts about Brady joining the NFC South?
It's weird.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
I like it.
I'm burning my lasagna. Be right back.
I think the NFC South at the quarterback position just got a lot older when you consider like Tom Brady's there and Drew Brees, like two of the oldest players in the NFL.
Exactly.
I think it's gonna look hella weird seeing Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform. But a lot of people are kind of it's dumb because I mean we haven't even gone through free agency yet. We haven't gone to the draft and people are picking the Buccaneers to make it to the Super Bowl. And it's like you gotta think like the history of the Buccaneers, like they haven't been good in like 12, 15 years. Like they have one of the worst winning percentages in history. Like you just think a 42-year-old quarterback is gonna come in there and change all that in one season. Like I think they'll be have a winning record, like 9-7, 10-6. But to automatically, and I mean, that, even saying that is kind of ridiculous because, like I said, we haven't gone through the draft. But Tom Brady he's not going to get better than what he was last year. And last year didn't look great.
He was ass.
He did not look great.
They're advocating to get, he wants to bring AB back, apparently. Like,
right. That's my thing. But also with the AB thing, is like, will he take the second fiddle to Mike Evans? And then on top of that, with Brady, I don't think he fits Arians' offense because Arians likes to push the ball down the field. Brady can't, and my Brady can't do that, in my opinion.
He can't do it for the whole game.
Right.
And I think that's why they
kind of. At least with Jameis, yeah, he's going to take his shot and he may throw an interception or two down the field. But he's going to make people, okay, we need to play our true coverage.
You got
to
play
a little deep game. Because he. Right. With Brady, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. Me, possibly. Me personally. That's what I think.
I think that's why they absolutely have to bring in Antonio Brown. Because when you think about what Tom Brady is good at and what he's been successful at in New England, it's with those wide receivers that run precise intermediate to short routes. And Antonio Brown is probably one of the best ever to do that. So, yeah, Mike Evans is a great receiver, but you can't put Mike Evans in the Patriots system and him be successful. Like, that's just not his game. He's a deep threat guy. The other guy, Godwin's kind of the same way. Antonio Brown, you put him in, you put him in a slot or put him on the outside, running, taking care of the middle and underneath. Then we're cooking a little bit. We're cooking.
Mike Evans ain't about to fucking have Antonio Brown on his team.
Mike Evans don't make those decisions out there.
He ain't gonna have. Yeah. Well, he's the best player on the goddamn team. So
no, actually, he would welcome it because he would never free him up on one more 1-on-1s if he had Antonio Brown on the side.
I don't think so. AB just needs to sit his little short ass down somewhere and call it.
AB is a fucking monster when he's not wilding out.
Whatever he's doing, taking them little dick pills. Y'all saw that shit? He had a bag of dicks. It was like some gummies or some shit. I know y'all saw that shit.
I did. That was pretty funny. But the thing that concerns me about Falcons fans, I know it's a lot of bravado and all the nonsense they like to do on Twitter. One dude, Crackerjack19, he said, Oliver on Evans, Sheffield on Brown, Miller or rookie on Goodwin with help over the top from Rico and KZ, Neil on Howard and Brady, Grady, Tech, Fowler, etc., breathing down Brady's neck, Falcons sweeping the boys, I don't care. I'm like, bro. We started out 1-7 last year, dog. Like, let's pump the brakes a bit. Like, our cornerbacks aren't great, bro. Like, they're not that good, man. Like,
probably we're gonna add one in the draft, I would think.
Possibly. I don't know. I still think we should get another pass rusher, man. You can never have enough of those guys. And plus, if you got enough of those guys, they'll make your sorry ass cornerbacks look decent. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. We need trench help. I don't want to see another first round cornerback.
Yeah.
If it's not a guard or edge or a defensive tackle that can help Grady, I'm gonna be pissed.
I mean, the Falcons used to do some wild stuff anyways in the draft, so I mean.
But look, with Tom Brady, I don't know how he's gonna do in another system without Bill Belichick. I don't know. I don't even know why he didn't just retire as a Patriot. That's weird. He don't got an arm, so I'm not scared. But I'm like, we might possibly lose a game if he does well in a new system that's not with Bill Belichick. But Patriots ain't going. I mean, not the Patriots. The Bucks ain't going to the Super Bowl because it's hosted in Tampa, and everybody knows about the Super Bowl curse. Super Bowl City curse. You ain't winning the Super Bowl, so we ain't got nothing to worry about with them trying to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they could.
They get
mess up our chances. You know what I'm saying?
What chance? You said we got a chance. Is that what
I'm talking about? Our chances, like, make playoff contention, even though they did add another playoff slot.
I'm about to say we going to the Super Bowl. Y'all thinking we gonna go to the Super Bowl this year?
If we buy tickets, yeah, we get them early enough. Yeah. Probably be some Corona discounts. You know what I'm
about to say, we gonna end this shit right now. If y'all talking about we going to the
Super Bowl, Matt Ryan's gonna hit Julio like how Roethlisberger hit Santonio Holmes in the end zone, and we're gonna win the Super Bowl just like that. You heard it here first,
man. Yeah,
so we're gonna be down like we usually are and have to come back. That's like, typical Falcons fashion, man.
Come on.
Fuck it.
We doing something this year. I don't know what. We get rid of somebody. I don't know what the fuck we gonna do this year. I'm just here for the
ride. I don't know what to expect this year.
I'm here for the fucking ride.
As long as we have a football season, I'll be more than fine.
Oh, yeah. If we have a fucking football season, we probably are going to be still locked in our fucking houses. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, man.
Goddamn virus.
Okay, so let's do some draft predictions. What do you guys want? I personally want another pass rusher. We got other needs to fill, but again, I think we take care of the pass rush, get some defenses off the field or offenses off the field on third down and give Matt Ryan more chances, more opportunities to score points. I think that will ultimately be beneficial. So I want a pass rusher. I want whatever best pass rusher we can get.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't trust these two to make the best decisions. So we might get one good player out of it, but what position? I don't fucking know. Right now we need a cornerback, we need a fucking running back, we need an O-line, we need a pass rusher. And who knows who else we about to fucking get rid of. So I don't fucking know what we're gonna do with the draft right now. Like these next
We mainly just need a pass rusher or someone to help Grady. Long as it's somewhere on the defensive line help, that's what we really need. That's our biggest need, in my opinion.
Well, we got
whoever the player is that can fill that void, get him.
We got Fowler, so we need somebody else.
Okay.
Have we talked about that?
Briefly.
Oh.
Josh doesn't think he's going to be good, so.
Yeah, he said he's a hood Vic Beasley. Shit, Vic Beasley actually got dropped off in the hood so he could get some extra fucking moves.
I think the Falcons should use their first-round pick on a cornerback and then both of their second-round picks to beef up that offensive line. As long as
we have one second-round pick.
No, I thought you had two. Then you get one from
gave it to the fucking Ravens for
that's right. Damn.
Again, I explained the logic earlier is that we're gonna have to address the tight end position anyways. And okay. He would have been better than any tight end we'd have gotten in the second round as he is.
But, I mean,
he's a first round talent as well. So
he can block as well, but either way, like you gotta shore up the offensive line because as long as you have Matt Ryan. You're going to be fine as far as your offense goes, but you need an offensive line that can protect them and that can make holes for whatever running back you have back there. Because if you have a good offensive line, it doesn't matter who's in the backfield.
Right.
But I also I'll send it to you guys. I saw a video there. They did like a study on like what's more important between pass rush and secondary. Having an elite pass rush or secondary. And based on the numbers, they're saying, it's better to have elite defensive backs as opposed to an elite pass rush just because, you can have three or four wide receivers out at a time running, quick slants and all that stuff. But if you have good corners that can match up with them, then, it gives your pass rushers enough time to get to them. But if you have bad quarterbacks, then offense is just going to just run quick passes on you and stuff like that. So that's why I would probably go cornerback. I'll see if I can find it.
I did not want another corner in the first round.
We did it right.
TD knows what he's doing, guys. You got to trust the process. Trust the process.
Well, with that being said, I definitely appreciate y'all for showing up. Again, hopefully we won't wait another 36 months to record another episode. Appreciate y'all listening. Definitely share on all social media platforms. Follow, review, comment, all that stuff. All the shit you're supposed to when you listen to a podcast. So anybody doesn't have anything else, this is the Bird Nation Report, the unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. Too late. I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Wash your fucking hands. Stay y'all's black asses in the fucking house so we can get out of the fucking house and I can get a fucking job again because I don't got time for this bullshit no more. Okay? Thank you.
Yes, definitely support her YouTube cooking show and her OnlyFans page that is coming. We'll drop the link with the podcast. I might
have OnlyFans. Shit, people talk about it. They just cook it and clean it on there and the men giving them like $10. Shit. I might consider it.
I mean, I saw you tweet about buying those Nike shorts, man. I don't know if all them yams can fit in those shorts. You know what I'm saying?
I don't got no yams. Oh, by the way, Atlanta, check, because you might be on curfew next. If you're in South Fulton, we're on curfew from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. So if you get stopped by the cops, don't be mad at me because I told you, motherfuckers. We're on curfew from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. till further notice. All right? So keep y'all asses inside and no hoe activities on here. We don't need no more motherfucking winter babies roaming this earth because y'all want to just have sex while y'all on quarantine. Thank you.
I mean, as of now, before before free agency is over and before the draft happens, I do have the Falcons winning the NFC South.
That's a first. This is why there is
a pandemic going on now. Marcus has chosen us to win this. Wow. Is God coming back tomorrow?
See, that's why he getting replaced by Philip Rivers and his
Armageddon right now.
Because you know Marcus looks like.
What you just said?
Who, me?
No, Marcus. Wow.
What'd you say?
What?
What do you say?
Can you repeat what you just said? Your winner, who you have currently as the winner of the NFC South?
Yeah, I have the Falcons winning it.
God damn it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I picked them to win it last year, too.
So this is your fault.
Oh crap. Yeah.
This is your fault.
The Falcons just got injured last year. If that team was fully healthy, that team would have won the NFC South.
Would we have?
They'd have made the playoffs. They'd have made the playoffs.
Yeah, we could have easily got it. Well, not easily. We possibly could have been a wild card spot.
I mean, if you look at it now, if you look at the landscape, it's before the draft. Like, the Panthers have a lot of holes to fill. I feel like the Saints.
That's what he said.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
The Saints fucked up. They should have did what the Patriots are doing and let their old-ass quarterback go because it's going to get ugly for Drew Brees. It's going to get ugly.
It's going to be beautiful.
And, you know, that's at some point. And then you got Taysom Hill as his backup. So it's going to get even worse. Like, they have no future at quarterback. And
did
I don't
even
know. I don't know what Tom Brady's going to look like at 42, but I do know, like, as of right now, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones show up every year, so there's no reason for me not to pick them.
Fair enough.
Ooh, I got one last thing.
Hurry up, my lasagna is smelling delectable right now.
So Marcus looks exactly like the Colts quarterback, who he claims he's a fan of. And if you ever want to know what Breeze looks like, he looks like one of our defensive secondary coaches. They look exactly alike. It's the scariest shit I've ever seen in the motherfucking world. So if you're wondering what these niggas look like, they look just like them.
Why can't we be kings? Why do we have to be, you know, I am a black king.
You look just like the Colts quarterback. It is so fucking weird. And you look just like that man. I forgot his fucking name, but I was like, holy shit.
First of all, that's racist because all black people don't look alike. But he does look like my uncle, so I will give you that. But
thank you.
It is what it is. But anyways, yeah, wash your hands. This is the River Nation Report, unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. We out.
We out this bitch. Now I got to end this. How the fuck do I end this? I still don't know why you had me doing this. I told you I was high. Okay, where's the end fucking button?